This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to In the News with me, Anvita Bansal. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2020, and I'll be bringing you all the latest updates from India and around the world. But before that, a small note on our Money Control app. The stock pin option in the Money Control app helps investors get real-time prices. Do check it out now. And now, coming back to our top stories of the day. First up, we have Atharva Pandit, who will be giving us all the latest updates on the Bharat Band protest. He'll also talk about a plane crash in Tehran that killed over 170 people. After that, we'll have Siddesh Raut, who'll tell us how Cabinet has approved an ordinance for coal mining. He'll also tell us how the Iranian state TV claimed to have killed 80 in a missile strike against US forces in Iraq. And lastly, we'll have Shraddha Sharma, who will let us know how the Axis Bank has seen 15,000 exits in just a few months, according to reports. Well, let's begin with, a number of trade unions had called for Bharat Band today, and a number of people in a number of states were on the streets protesting. To give us more details on this, I have with me Money Control's Atharva Pandit. Hi Atharva, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Atharva, what were their demands? What triggered the protests?
So, to start off, there are 10 central trade unions. Which have called for today's Bharat Band, which is like a nationwide strike.
Right.
So basically, it is against the government's policies in recent years, particularly the economic policies. But I should also mention that the trade unions that had called for a protest today, for Bharat Band today, had also said that they are also in solidarity with those who are protesting against the CA and NRC.
Right.
As well as for the students who are protesting against the violence in JNU. Mainly, this is a Bharat Band, this is a nationwide strike that has been called for against the economic policies of the government. According to the Center of Indian Trade Union's statement, I quote, "It has been over 4 years since any Indian labor conference took place.
Yeah.
The last meeting with a group of ministers was constituted to discuss a 12-point charter of demands that took place in August 2015. Since then, nothing has proceeded."
Yeah.
So basically, the trade unions are demanding number of things, but among them are pay hike, fixing of minimum wages, social security for workers, uniform 5-day week, etc., etc. And these are a part of, you know, they are trying to press a 12-point common demand program. As far as violence is concerned, there were no reports of violence as such, but CNN News 18 was reporting that there was some there were some instances of violence from Malda in West Bengal, some places in Odisha as well, according to reports, but they are not, the reports are not yet confirmed. But apart from that, everywhere else across the country, the protests were observed more or less peacefully.
What were the political reactions to this?
I mean, since the left trade unions are participating, the left parties have been supporting the Bharat Band. So is the opposition, because, I mean, obviously the opposition has lent its support to the nationwide strike. But there haven't been any specific reactions to the Bharat Band.
Well, talking about our next story, a plane crash in Tehran killed over 170 people. What are the latest updates on this story, Atharva?
So, yes, it's a tragic incident, and it comes at a time when Iran, it happened in Tehran, the capital of Iran, and it's happening at a time when the tensions between Iran and US have reached what some say are uncharted waters. We don't know what will happen, and we don't know where this will go.
So,
the crash also comes against the background of Iran launching strikes against the US military bases in Iraq. So it's a very dangerous time, and this crash today, which was a Ukraine International Airlines, this makes matters even more complicated. But for now, what we know is that the plane which crashed was a Ukrainian Boeing 737, and it carried 176 people. All of them have lost their lives in the crash. The crash happened after taking off from the Imam Khomeini International Airport, which is the prime airport in Tehran, at around around 6:12 a.m. local time. And the majority of passengers on the flight were from Iran and Canada. Ukraine, and now there are reports emerging that the black box, which is the most important component of an airplane whenever a crash happens, that has been found. But the Iranian people are not ready to hand over the black box to the Boeing authorities is what the reports are coming in. So again, that has made the whole issue a little complicated, and that has made obviously some people very suspicious. But we don't know where this is going and what will happen from here on. The cause of the accident was said to be engine failure, but we are not sure of that yet either.
Yes.
Because typically when a crash happens, you investigate the black box and then you determine the cause of the crash. So right now, yeah, we are in muddled waters is what we can probably say.
Right. Thank you so much, Atharva, for all those insights.
Thank you.
Among all the developments that happened in the cabinet meeting today, it has approved an ordinance for coal mining. To give us more details on this, I have with me Money Control Siddhesh Raut. Hi, Siddhesh. Thank you for joining in.
Hi, Anvita. Thank you for having me here.
Siddhesh, how would the ordinance help the coal mining sector?
Well, Anvita, Coal Minister Prahlad Joshi had stated that the Cabinet Board has approved an ordinance for the amendment of the Mines and Minerals Development and Regulation Act, or the MMDR Act. And he said that one key factor that will change the entire coal sector in India is the fact that the end sector, or rather the end use restriction that was placed on companies that are mining coal will be lifted.
Okay.
Now, what this means is that a lot of the companies which end up mining the coal at times would also require it for their operations and their subsidiaries for their energy, personal energy requirements in that sense.
Right.
And previous laws were not allowing the coal that was mined by these entities to be used for those set purposes. But Coal Minister has stated now that following the passing of this ordinance, these companies can go ahead and use the coal for their purposes. He also stated, and I quote, "This will have an impact on the growth of ease of doing business and the democratization of the sector by opening it up to any entity that was willing to invest."
Right.
And unquote. So he also said that this end-use restriction will allow more foreign direct investment into the coal sector. Another key aspect to this ordinance is that now the government would be able to issue unexplored prospective cum mining leases. These leases were available in other energy related sectors such as the oil drilling sector, but it wasn't previously allowed in the coal sector. This would allow the stakeholders to show more interest in the sector.
Right. Will the ordinance help reduce our import dependence for coal?
That is exactly what the coal minister had said. And to provide some context, I will quote him. "The demand of coal is increasing day by day. Though we have the fourth largest coal reserves, India imports close to 235 million tons of coal, of which 100 million tons is non-substitutable. And it has costed 1.37 lakh crore rupees to the exchequer." Coal Minister Prahlad Joshi has stated that 100 million tons is non-substitutable, which means that 135 million tons of coal that they had imported can be substitutable and can be taken care of by our own reserves. And towards that end, the coal minister also said that Coal India, which is the state-run coal mining company, has been allocated the appropriate blocks and it will aim to reach 1 billion tons of output by 2023-24. Another key aspect that will aim to bring in more of these private players into the coal mining sector and possibly revitalize it is the fact that the amendment will also streamline the approval process. The statutory approvals that is required for someone who is interested in operating a coal mine is up to 20 in number. And Joshi had stated that this takes about 2 years on an average to gain all those clearances and begin the operations on the mine. And he said that with this ordinance, these approvals will be more streamlined in nature and perhaps will be more quickly expedited. And that would possibly bring in more interest to the sector.
All right. Any other important announcements were made in the cabinet meeting?
There were also announcements made by Union Minister Prakash Javadekar. And one of them was that the cabinet had approved of a viability funding for the gas grid for northeastern states. And he had also stated that the Ayurveda Institute of Jamnagar has been given a status of Institute of National Importance. And he said, I will quote, "It will subsume other Ayurveda institutes and improve the transmission of Ayurvedic services," end quote. There was also an important announcement where the cabinet has provided approvals in the health sector to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it is a post facto approval that will allow for measures by the foundation to improve the country's neonatal and maternal mortality rates, family provide measures for better family planning, and the treatment of infectious diseases. The cabinet has also said that the government has gotten into an understanding with the UK to improve the efficiency of railway systems.
Well, talking about our international story, Iranian state TV said that 80 Americans were killed in a missile strike against US in Iraq. Siddhish, what is the latest development on this story?
Well, Anvita, the state TV is an Iranian television channel, news television channel, and it has stated that at least 80 Americans were killed in attacks that involved 15 different missiles that were launched on these U.S. targets, possibly in military bases in Iraq. And they also said that none of these missiles had been intercepted. The state TV had quoted a senior Revolutionary Guard as a source. And they had also stated that Iran had about 100 other targets in the region, and if Washington had decides to take up any retaliatory measures. With regards to the damage, they said that a lot of US helicopters and military equipments were also in the line of fire and took hits.
What is US's stance on the issue?
So US President Donald Trump said, and I quote, "All is well," and that they're assessing the situation, and he would most likely come up with a statement on tomorrow morning on Thursday. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham had also added that the president has been briefed about the situation and they're monitoring it. And we had a Pentagon spokesman, Jonathan Hoffman, who stated, and I quote, "We are working on initial battle damage assessments." He also said that Iran had launched more than a dozen ballistic missiles against the U.S. military and coalition forces in Iraq. And he had said this at around 5:30 p.m. on January 7th.
One last question, Siddhish. Are there any other developments to note?
Well, the government of India has taken note of these escalating tensions, and the Ministry of External Affairs has issued a travel advisory note. In a statement, it's advised all Indian citizens to, and I quote, "draw up any plan of non-essential travel to Iraq." And it even goes on to say that you should cut down all travel as much as possible and stay to Iraq, and they must stay alert at all times.
Thank you so much, Siddhish, for all those insights.
Thank you, Anvita.
Reports suggest Axis Bank has seen 15,000 exits in just a few months. To let us know the reason for this, I have with me Money Control's Shraddha Sharma. Hi, Shraddha. Thank you for joining in.
Hi, Anvita.
Shraddha, why are so many employees leaving Axis Bank? Why are there so many resignations?
I'll have to tell you that at least, as you rightly mentioned, 15,000 Axis Bank employees. These employees are mostly at the branch level. Those have exited the company in the past few months. This is a report by the Economic Times, which Money Control couldn't independently verify. But the report suggests that some senior level executives have also quit. So we know that there's this huge wave of resignations that might hit the branch at the branch level, mostly because branch level is at the level which actually directly communicates with the customers. So that will be hit on a daily basis. And the reason for this is because of they are struggling to cope up with the new management's growth targets. There is a structural change in how the Axis Bank management functions and how what are the growth targets. There has been a steep change in that, and they are unable to cope up with the changes that the bank has put out. So, several employees, as reports suggest, were unclear about their roles, and many people who have been in the bank for quite some time are feeling a cultural change. So, they were not comfortable with that change. And Axis Bank is now actually trying to hire more people. because of the attrition that we are talking about.
Right.
The bank had attrition of 11,500 people in FY19. And so currently the employees that are in the bank stands at 72,000. But as far as we hear from Rajesh Dahiya from the report, he said calling the employees, he said they are the biggest asset and the differentiators. And this has been a year of large number of new hirings, substantially higher numbers compared to last year, both in gross as well as on net basis, he added.
Right.
So, we heard that the chief executive, Amitav Chaudhary, who took over as the lender's chief in January 2019, had actually made a lot of changes to the senior management and even change the organizational structure. So to cope up with that, they will be hiring a new force to make up for the people who have resigned.
Right, Shraddha, considering Axis Bank wants to hire new workforce, how are they going to fill the void between hiring and such mass resignations? Like, will it affect the customer service?
So basically, the lender has acknowledged the huge number of resignations that it has received in the past few months. But the bank is also betting on, you know, automation and the use of artificial intelligence to, you know, automate a lot of roles. So in that front, they have acknowledged that, but they have also clarified that they have already hired around 20,000 people this fiscal, and they would employ another 4,000 in the last quarter.
Right.
So, and we also hear that the bank is on a hiring spree for engineers as well, rather than bankers, because of the softwares that they are putting to automate a lot of functions.
Right.
And also the media report suggests that the private lender is planning to hire 30,000 more people in the next 2 years. So the bank is expanding fast as per the executive director also, and it'll be fulfilled with new hirings.
Right. Thank you so much, Shraddha, for all those details.
Thank you, Anvita, for having me.
Well, with that, it's a wrap on this edition of In The News. In case if you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until then, it's me, Anvita, signing off. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you so much for listening.